Bickley and Murata, social studies.
Social studies time. Here's our conductor, director, our cruise director.
Our cruise director. Oh, hold on. Let me go get my plastic lei real quick.
You are way too young to remember this, but when the Love Boat was popular in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a lot of young women in this country that wanted to be a cruise director.
What?
Like Julie on the Love Boat. That was a very popular thing.
But why was it cool? Why was it popular?
Because the Love Boat.
Because people went on the boat and fell in love,
yeah,
Sarah.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been on a cruise, any one of you three?
No.
Yes, once when I was 5 or 6.
And I never will.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays.
Yeah, definitely not.
I've been on 4 cruises. I love it. And if you have a good cruise director, it's both good and cringeworthy because they love to be like peppy and make jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
So one time I was on a cruise and they get over the loudspeaker, you know, during the middle of the day and they're like, "Excuse me, we have an announcement. If anyone has lost a large stack of bills, $100 bills wrapped in a rubber band, we have found your rubber band."
Hey, Jared.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered a career change?
Yeah, I know. Not anymore.
You would be perfect for that.
Yeah. It's usually a lot of international people on cruises, working on cruises. Yeah.
You know what they say about the Love Boat? It soon will be making another run.
You know, and it really doesn't take a rocket surgeon to figure out why Jared loves cruises. Something to do with the food.
Oh, yeah.
The nonstop food.
Absolutely, as much as you want. You go to 3 entrees every night.
If there was a full-time soup stirrer on a cruise ship, that's your job.
I vibe with the unlimited food, too, but I think I would get bored pretty quickly as far as the entertainment and seeing the same people every single day.
I would not want to live on a cruise ship.
No.
It's good for a week.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Let's get into today's social studies, everybody. Follow us on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. That is where Jarrett posts our questions every single day and his cruise director cringeworthy jokes as well. Let's start with the Suns and the NBA. Earlier in the show, you guys were talking about DeAndre Ayton and how impressed you guys have been with him lately, seeing an elevated game. Who do you believe is the best trio today in the Western Conference? So we've got Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DA with the Suns. Utah's Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and Mike Conley. The Lakers, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Andre Drummond. Or Portland's Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Norman Powell. Best trio in the West today.
The way those are constructed, I think it's a choice between two. I think it's a choice between the top two.
Okay, so the Suns and Utah?
Yeah. Drummond is yet to prove anything with LeBron and AD, so we don't know how that's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Will Drummond be on the floor when AD's on the floor? We don't know. Norman Powell, kind of the same thing. I'd be swayed, maybe. I mean, Enes Kanter's been a monster recently.
Would you swap him out?
No, for the way it's presented, I'd probably give a slight edge to Utah right now.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Over Phoenix?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And you too as well, Bickley?
Yes. Yeah.
Utah over Phoenix? Okay.
But I do think the gap is closing between the top three on each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I voted for Utah.
Yeah.
Utah got 6.4% of the vote.
You know why that is? Because we're in Phoenix and Suns fans hate Jazz fans.
But the Suns fans hate Lakers fans, and the Lakers got 39% of the vote.
They also have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
And there's also a lot of Lakers fans in the Valley.
Well, I guess that's true. Are they following us, Lakers fans?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello. 53% of the vote goes to the Suns trio, CP3, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. 39%, like I said, goes to the Lakers trio, LeBron, AD, and Andre Drummond. And then 6.4 for Utah, 2.1% for Lillard and company up in Portland. Moving on to our next question. Something you guys talked about as well earlier in the show. Kyler Murray has hinted at a desire for new Cardinals uniforms. I know last week in one of his Instagram stories, he reposted mock-ups for new Cardinals unis, and the account was like, "New Cardinals uniforms, please." or something like that. Yeah. So not terribly subtle, as he usually is not on social media. So we are asking, open-ended question, if you could create new Cardinals uniforms, what would you want them to look like? What features would you want? Colors, all that.
Something different.
Not this?
Yeah, I would like, I would change their helmet color to black.
Okay.
Really?
Tough. Oh, yeah. Yeah, black with a red bird would look phenomenal, in my opinion.
Ooh, that would.
Yeah, that's really, I think you do that, and the rest is just going to be a home run on top of it.
So I'm sure the helmet is the focal for you.
For me, it is.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm more, like, I'm into this stuff, but I don't really... I'm not into the design of it. I just don't have that skill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a know-it-when-I-see-it kind of guy.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah. I'll tell you what's wrong, but I'm not going to tell you how to fix it. That's how I am.
Yeah, I'm a definitely...
The Cardinals are wearing right now.
This is a problem, but I have no solution. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Fortunately, our listeners have some good solutions.
Good.
Some very specific concepts. Here's one that I have not heard before from On The Line JY. He wants like the Suns Valley jerseys. So some sunset type looking stuff.
Eh, I don't know if that works on a football uniform.
Yeah. We've got.
In fact, I know it doesn't.
Mark is with you, Dan Bickley. Mark says, I like their current look, but just please let us have black helmets.
Yeah.
That would go a long way in just changing the
helmet. What
about
a red helmet? Would you sign off on a red helmet? I think that would
like
be an upgrade.
A deep red helmet.
Is there any team in the NFL that has a red helmet?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sun Devil 3015 says, go back to the all whites. A lot of people mentioned like the kind of older all whites from a couple decades ago.
Okay.
We've got actual mock-ups. I don't know if Manny did this himself or took it from someone else. But yeah, really cool look here. We've got white pants, red jersey, and then on the sleeves, the Arizona flag.
Yeah,
it
I
looks
like
really
ones.
Sharp.
Yeah,
and
I
then
do.
There's an all-white iteration for that, too.
I'm a big fan of the white pants. I do not like the red pants, and I hate the red-on-red combination that
Agreed.
The Cardinals do.
Yeah. Agreed. I don't want it.
Yeah.
And then Stephen Grange has a good recommendation for Cardinals uniforms. He just wants to see a Super Bowl champion logo on the sleeve.
That would improve them greatly.
So that would be a nice addition there, Stephen.
Funny.
That's a good call. Okay, moving on to our next question. Maybe in the last hour, we were talking about the latest in the Arizona men's basketball's head coach search, and Gilbert Arenas had some thoughts on who they should hire. We are asking, here in this building, the Arizona alumni in the building, me, Jarrett Carlin, Kellen Olson, or Dave Burns, who did not graduate from there, but he did go to Arizona for a little bit. Who of those four would make the best Arizona men's basketball coach?
With due respect to all present company, I'd have to vote Kellen Olson.
No offense taken.
I think Kellen Olson's more of a GM type. It's a front office type.
So who are you voting for?
Coach Sarah Cazell.
Okay.
Let's go!
Yeah. Burnsy would be really good at baseball manager. Burnsy would be really good at that.
But if it was just for basketball, Burnsy could be like the broadcaster, and then Jarrett could be like the guy, the mascot without a mascot suit. I have a job for everybody.
Thank you. Get us all employed post-pandemic. We love it.
I'm putting America back to work.
I could be the new Ooh-Ah man.
Oh.
Do you remember who that was, Vinny?
Rest
Did you ever
peace.
Know him?
I remember hearing about it, yeah.
Yeah.
The guy that fires up the crowd during commercial breaks.
You and
breaks.
Phyllis can hang together. She's still going strong. All right. Well, as much as I would like to be the head coach, Kellen Olson, right now, 39% of the vote. It's not surprising. I mean, he's one of the best basketball minds
you
I know.
You were leading that poll, though. So
I was. And then he shared it, and the Kellen Hive went in. 39% for Kellen, 34% for me, 16% for Jarrett, 11% for Dave Burns.
Burnsy.
Unbelievable. To be fair, though, Coach Olson does sound good in a U of A sense.
Yeah, Coach O. We could use another Coach O.
Yeah.
He's got the right spelling.
That might
too.
Be. Hey, just the last name might be enough to convince a lot of
right.
U of A.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, we ran out of time for the last question, so we'll just do that later. Mm-hmm. Or not.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Always thank you, Sarah. Head coach Sarah Cazell in social studies here every day at 1 o'clock. Follow us on Twitter, @Bickley_Murata. Coming up next, it was a huge bench performance by the Phoenix Suns in their impressive win over Miami last night. Big part of that bench will be joining us next. We'll talk to Javon Carter here on Bickley and Murata next 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Handling it out front, Payne gets it out to Jay Crowder. Crowder goes inside, deuces out to Carter. Three-pointer on the way. Shazam! Javon Carter. So the Suns with 13 three-pointers on the night, and they lead at 104-85.
And they'd go on to win it 106-86 last night at Phoenix Suns Arena. The man who made that 13 three-pointer, Suns guard Javon Carter, joins us here on Bickley and Murata via the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Javon, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. We've been spending a lot of time today talking about last night's game. Obviously, it's got to feel good for you guys on the bench to have such an influence on the win. Do you think that was the best overall bench performance by the Suns all season long?
Yeah, probably so from top to bottom.
One of the things that I really love about this basketball team is just is the way you guys all cheer on each other, and it's up and down the roster. You've been on other teams. What is the fellowship like? What is the camaraderie like on this basketball team?
It's almost like it's like a family. Honestly, it kind of feels like college all over again. You know, everybody we get along. Everybody get along with everybody. We hang out a lot outside of basketball. And it just takes me back to my college days, honestly.
I've heard other players say that. Mikal Bridges made a comment, too, that this is like a college team. But that point, Javon, about you know being able to spend time away from basketball and really build chemistry that way, how much more difficult has that been this season with all the protocols and all the rules in place?
It hasn't really been that hard, honestly.
Yeah.
If anything, it's kind of made it easier because we don't really get a chance to really see anyone outside of the team. So, like, we almost have to get along and be with each other all day, every day.
One of the cool things also about this team is watching D.A. Start to play more physical, start to, you know, play bigger above the rim. What's that been like, helping and watching this team grow this young big?
It's been fun. You know, I'm just glad I'm here to witness it. You know, he has an exceptional talent. He can be as good as he want to be. And I just hope I'm here to watch the final project.
Javon Carter of the Phoenix Suns, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We played the highlight of one of your three threes last night. You had three in the game before that against Houston. You had four against Washington. I mean, 10 three-pointers in three games, that's a pretty good clip right now. Would you say your shot's feeling about as good as it has all season long right now, Javon?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you could say that.
In terms of, we talked earlier also about, you know, adding a new piece to the bench crew. You guys get Torrey Craig from Milwaukee at the deadline, and he's fit in seamlessly. Can you just elaborate a little bit, Javon, on what Torrey Craig has brought to this team, what he means to that whole second unit?
He's brought, you know, energy, defense. He's making the open shots when it's available. Offensive rebounder. He's just being a good piece for the team. Honestly, just came in and fit in, played his game, played his role, and he's excelling right now.
What do you guys, what do you think about when you play defense at a very, very high level, when you guys are really all locked and engaged, you guys can be quite a destructive team defensively. How do you think that's going to play in the postseason? What kind of pride do you take in playing defense?
That's our culture. You know, that's what we fall back on. We always say when we go on the road that defense travels. And if we can get our defense, if we can rely on our defense every night when the shot's falling, then there's no reason we should lose.
We were talking, too, about two games in two nights, two very different basketball games. The game against Houston obviously got up there on the scoreboard. You guys hit 25 threes, but, you know, both teams over 120. Last night you hold the team to 86 points. And you say defense is the culture, but how comfortable are you guys winning shootouts at this point, Javon?
I don't know. I wouldn't say we go in the game trying to outscore every team. We really just try to lock in defensively, honestly, and we let our defense lead our offense.
Javon Carter of the Phoenix Suns, our guest. I got one more, and I've been wondering about this for a while, Javon. I got to ask you. The shoes. You'll come to the court with two different shoes on a lot. Can you tell us how that started, what that's all about?
It started last year when I got here to Phoenix. I was with the brand And1, and you know it's a brand that was popular back in the day, and I was trying to get them back on the map. And when they came out with the second shoe, my second year, they only had black and white. So for like 3 months straight, I was only wearing like white shoes or black shoes.
Okay.
So I just got tired of that, so I just mixed them together. And then from that point on, I was just like, I'm going to stick with it, and it's just going to be my new look.
Well, that's cool.
And it's caught. I mean, other players around the league are doing that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
you're a trendsetter, man.
You
know, hey, I like that.
All right, last thing before we let you get out of here. What's it like sharing a backcourt with Chris Paul? And if you were to describe to somebody his impact on this particular team, what would you say?
Say that one more time.
Chris Paul's impact on this team, how would you describe it to people?
Second to none. He comes out there and he's going to say what's on his mind. And a guy with, 16 years of experience in the NBA, I mean, how can we not listen to him? And he knows a lot about the game, and he wants to go out there and teach us, and we all willing to learn from him. So it's fun to be around him, and you're gonna learn something new being around him every day.
Yeah, definitely. Javon, thanks for spending some time with us today. Appreciate it. Congratulations on this run you're on, and best of luck tomorrow night against Sacramento.
Thank you.
Javon Carter, Suns guard. He joined us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle, visit CoulterNissan.com. Yeah, you want to talk about a guy who's dialed in from three-point range,
mm-hmm.
10 three-pointer, 10 out of 22 in his last three games.
Yeah, and that's hard work. If you saw Javon Carter shooting the basketball prior, I mean, he was never a catch-and-shoot kind of guy, and he's really developed that.
Yeah, I mean, him talking about defense and that being the calling card, that's been his calling card all the way through college. He was a defensive standout at West Virginia, and he's always had that. But it's interesting too. Part of my routine when I leave a Suns game is I'll turn on John Bloom on the post game show, and more often than not, Bloomer's talking about guys going back out on the court right after the conclusion of the game. They talk to the coach, they go right back out on the court. Javon Carter is one of those guys that leads the charge. He's out there shooting after the game, pretty much after every home game. So, Suns got Sacramento tomorrow night looking for their 10th straight home win. It's Bickley and Murata here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com. How do you feel about the Cardinals signing James Conner? Your choices. Great choice. Should still draft a running back. Not a fan of it. That's interesting, because I think you can mix the first two choices. You could have a combination of those.
It seems like you're missing a choice there.
Yeah. But of the three, I'll go optimistic. I'll say great choice, considering what he's potentially being asked to do for the price they paid. 63% agree, say great choice. 29% say, yep, still want a running back. And I still think that is in the future for the Cardinals, not necessarily in the first round. 7% say, not a fan.
Wow, okay.
You know who those people are? Disgruntled fantasy owners.
Oh, right.
I'm thinking, like, if they're going to draft someone, a mid-round running back, why not just give Eno Benjamin a try?
And once, why, and everybody's just skipping over Jonathan Ward.
Or him
I got
too.
His name right
you
for
did.
Once.
You did.
Not T.J. Ward.
Yeah. Mickey Ward.
Montgomery Ward.
Montgomery Ward. Ward Cleaver. Beaver Cleaver.
Ward Bushy.
The Academy Awards.
7% say they're not a fan. That's today's Anderson Ford poll question on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com. The subject of the poll question, James Conner, joined Doug and Wolf this morning, and they asked the question because it came up yesterday. Hey, didn't talk to the Cardinals about a potential role. It's undefined at this point. But he did talk about the process of choosing the Cardinals without having that specified role.
Keeping God first. Absolutely, keeping God first. I just felt like it was a great opportunity for me to grow, you know. And so with me, like I said, being a Pennsylvania the whole time, I've always had a love for out west and just the energy out here, the vibes, the sun, the mountains, just everything. I just, you know, really, really always intrigued me. And so for this opportunity, I'm definitely betting on myself. Absolutely, you know, one year deal and, you know, just get opportunity to play. And I definitely was talking with the coaches and whatnot. And like I said yesterday, it seemed like they believed in me. So I'm definitely betting on myself. And I just want to come bring energy out here and, you know, bring steel to the heat.
Never fault a guy for betting on himself. Ever.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he had many other options. I mean, that's a real bargain rate for James Conner if he stays healthy. And obviously that's a big if, and that's going to have to happen on the field. But I think that in terms of what you paid for the guy, that's a good deal. That's a good deal for the Cardinals. And now it's going to be incumbent, because I'm sure there were promises made, verbal promises, like, you will be part of this offense. So if you come here and you do this, you can relaunch yourself. You can't do that without carries.
If he's as much a part of the offense as the normal second running back has been,
mm-hmm.
That's
then
not
no.
a part of it.
Well,
no.
I think the number was in the 90s for Chase Edmonds carries last year.
Mm-hmm. Which is, and it's just one of those things that just never added up. It was like they abandoned getting the ball to Kenyon Drake in space, and they talked about giving Chase Edmonds a bigger role, and that just, it's never really materialized. Now, I do think what they're doing now is the right way. Running back by committee, but you've got to distribute the carries appropriately.
Yeah, within the game.
Yeah.
And I broke it down last year. I went and looked at the 2 years of Cliff Kingsbury as the head coach, and I don't think they had one game where they had two different backs with 10 or more carries, which is not par for the course, but it's very common in today's NFL.
Here we go. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The Arizona Sports Signing Bonus.
Yes, it is time for the Arizona Sports Signing Bonus, and the name we are calling out today, Clifford Garcia from Mesa. Clifford, you've got 10 minutes starting right now to give us a call at 602-260-9870. That's all you have to do, and you get a $500 signing bonus, like the one James Conner got.
Yeah, right.
Mistakenly.
Right.
If you didn't hear your name, you can still win by texting bonus to 620-620. Listen for your name. 335 with Burns and Gambo. We're doing this through the end of May. 735, 135, and 335. So, yeah, definitely text bonus to 620-620. Clifford Garcia from Mesa, you are on the clock. Give us a call, 602-260-9870 for the Arizona Sports Signing Bonus. All right, we talked about this topic yesterday a bit, a little bit more specifically today. More news on Arizona sports gambling. It's here, kids. And the TPC Scottsdale planning a year-round sports book called the what they call a 19th hole experience at the venue. Fans can place wagers, watch live sports, and enjoy food and beverages. This is like the first real concrete result of this, where, you know, we get to visualize where this is actually going to take place.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool venue at TPC Scottsdale.
I got wind that something was going to come down today out of the Scottsdale TPC late afternoon yesterday, and I started thinking, all right, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a Ryder Cup? Are we talking about a PGA Championship? What would elevate to the level of major news? Then I went back and I found one of the original stories that outlined the details of the sports gambling initiative that was passed in the Senate. And two things jumped out at me that I had not noticed before. It was allowing the TPC Scottsdale and PIR. Is it still called PIR?
Phoenix Raceway.
Phoenix
they
Raceway.
Got rid of the I
That's
part.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So,
PR.
Yeah, PR. So Phoenix Raceway also have the abilities to open sports books. And I went, that's got to be it. That has to be it. So I tweeted out something to that extent, and it's happened today, and it's very interesting to me that you would have a real live sports book located somewhere on the grounds of the Scottsdale TPC. And for anybody who's gone there, they've got a hybrid clubhouse, a pro shop, and a restaurant. And I'm thinking they're probably going to just carve out play or maybe redo the restaurant. I don't know what they're going to do, but that's going to be a gold mine. A sports book in that area where you can go and what you have to understand here is this isn't just betting on golfers during the Waste Management Phoenix Open. This is a sports book where you could go and bet on whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, all right, when? The initial release said it would probably be certainly in time for the 2023 Super Bowl, which is coming to Arizona for now. But the people I've talked to don't pay attention to that. This thing, I would be stunned if this thing wasn't up and operational by next year's tournament. In some
which form. Coincides with the 2022 Super Bowl.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think we're waiting to 2023 to see the results of this. I the reason why DraftKings and what's the other one?
FanDuel.
You remember when those companies were formed, the amount of energy they created, everybody kind of knew this day was coming, that legalized sports gambling was going to be a reality in America. And you could see that is why all of these entities were elevated, and now we're here. I find it's fascinating because there was at one point in time when gambling was so taboo to professional sports. I mean, they didn't want it anywhere near you. It's kind of ironic this comes
down.
Well,
ice cream.
This comes down on the 80th birthday of Pete Rose. Turns 80 today.
Does he really?
Yeah, 80 wow. years old.
Chili.
What else, Pete?
Ribs.
Oh, I totally agree
with
you.
That one always gets me.
Ice cream.
Man, he was hungry that day.
Pizza. Pizza.
What was chizza again? Was it Cheetos and pizza?
No, the chili on the pizza.
Oh, that's what it was.
No, was it? I thought it was a Cheetos crust or something on a pizza.
No, we doctored that. He never said
chizza. No, he never said chizza. Yeah, but it was an actual thing.
I think it was chili on pizza, I think.
I don't know if I looked that
up. Because, you know, they love their chili.
Oh,
Cincinnati.
They sure do, even though it's not chili.
The article on this from that you can read on online at arizonasports.com, the biggest part of this plan, this new legalization of sports gambling, would allow pro sports teams like the Coyotes, Diamondbacks, Cardinals to run sports betting operations at their respective venues.
Mm-hmm.
At a retail location within a quarter mile and online, there would be 10 licenses awarded to sports, which could even include NASCAR. Tribes would also get 10 licenses and could run sports books at 24 tribal casinos
right.
in the state.
And to do this, if you read further, Governor Ducey allowed the tribe, the existing casinos, to expand the games that they offer. So I'm
now
not,
you get craps and baccarat and,
exactly yeah. roulette. They already have that. I don't know, but so they've expanded that now.
They only have blackjack and poker.
Okay,
so yes. that's a big expansion.
Yeah,
right. So that was what was given to them to allow. I don't know what I don't really know the negotiations, but I do know that's a fringe element of it, that the menu of gambling products is now expanded uh-huh. at the existing casinos.
Yes.
It's a brave new world. You can only imagine what kind of revenue that is going to generate. Can you imagine that
yeah.
with all the alcohol flowing and all the people at that golf tournament? $50 says you slice.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, and I never slice.
All right, you can owe me. I owe you nothing.
Hey, Clifford Garcia. The clock is ticking. You haven't called yet. Man. If you know Clifford Garcia from Mesa.
602-260-9870.
We got $500 burning a hole in our pocket
this
right now.
This is
for dialing a phone number.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah. All right, final thoughts coming up on this Wednesday. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns to stay.
Yeah, see, this is a Kenny Rogers song I know.
Still can't believe Kenny Rogers was in a rock band. Right? You know?
Cost me a mustache.
Just dropped in to see what condition my condition is in. Isn't that great? By the way they held
their eyes. So of course we're playing this because of...
The Gambler.
The Gambler. A lot of people are going to be singing this song.
In honor of Pete Rose and his 80th birthday.
This was, I'm looking this up right now. This was a gigantic hit. Drink down my last in the 80s. Maybe the 70s. The Gambler went to, only number 16 on the Hot 100. His face lost all expression. He had such a run of hits. You remember his run of hits, Bick.
The Gambler.
The Seal. She Believes in Me. You Decorated My Life. Cow Out of the County.
He went full on country, didn't he? I forgot about Lucille.
He did. There you go. There's today's Song of the Day.
Song of the Day.
Hey, by the way, Clifford Garcia.
Yeah, Clifford.
Boom, he got
well done.
In under the clock.
Well
just
done,
under
Clifford.
The clock. So we're 1-for-2 now.
Okay.
Didn't have a name to call yesterday. Arizona Sports signing bonus continues today, 3:35. Burns and Gambo are going to call another name. If you want to get involved, all you got to do is text the word bonus to 620-620. Listen for your name, 735, 135, and 335 every day here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata, your daily dose of Vinnie Joe trivia.
On this day, all the way back in 1969, Bick, the Montreal Expos played their first ever home game as a Major League franchise. They beat the St. Louis Cardinals 8-7 in front of 29,184 fans at Parc Jarry, Jerry Park.
Oh, right.
You remember that team.
Oh, yeah.
Maury Wills.
Tim Raines.
It was way before Tim Raines.
Yeah, I know.
Rusty Starr.
I just...
Coco LeBoy. the Expos would call Montreal home until 2004 when they moved to Washington, D.C. and became the Nationals. Your question from Vinnie Joe Trivia today is from 1969 to 2004, so their entire duration in Montreal. Who is the Expos' all-time franchise leader in home runs?
Tim Wallach?
Good guess. He's in the top five, but no.
Gary Carter?
No.
Vlad Guerrero.
Oh, that's
Vlad Guerrero.
That's a good guess.
This is the correct answer.
I forgot about Vlad.
Point! Jarrett Carlin. 234 home runs in an Expo uniform for Vlad Guerrero before he moved on to the Angels. There was another, I don't know if you saw this. Shane Bieber of Cleveland. He struck out 11 against the White Sox on Tuesday. Only the sixth pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to have double-digit strikeouts in each of his first three starts of a season. Among those, he joined Nolan Ryan and Randy Johnson.
Wow.
Gerrit Cole.
Shut up, Gerrit!
Sam McDowell. And Rich Hill is on that list.
Rich Hill?
Yes.
Wow.
Rich, we have a fan of the Dodgers who works in the web department, and I miss her dearly. I haven't seen her in over a year, but she used to refer to Rich Hill as the walking blister. He always had a blister problem. Speaking of dominant pitching performances, did you see the, I almost brought this up in Hardware over the weekend, a softball pitcher by the name of, she pitches for North Texas University, Hope Troutwine. Did you see this story?
No.
Great name right off the bat.
She pitched a perfect game over the weekend in a game against Arkansas Pine Bluff. Not only was it a perfect game, which in softball is 21 up, 21 down, 21 strikeouts.
Ooh.
Struck out everybody she faced. And went full Jay Crowder. Had no idea that she had struck out everybody.
Oh, come on.
She said, I knew it was a perfect game. There's that thing about you don't say it's a perfect game, but I could hear my teammates behind me. They were saying, don't jinx it. But I guess I didn't really register that all of the outs were strikeouts until the end of the game.
Yeah, it's quite a difference. We talked about this yesterday. Some people have incredible recall from games they just participated in. Some people, not so much.
I would, when I played sports, I had terrible recall on, what the score was at a certain time or what the situation was. So I always marvel mm-hmm. at the people that have tremendous recall. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about LeBron James, his ability to recall what happened on a specific play.
It's insane.
It's unbelievable to hear that amount of detail and recall.
Sean McVay's the same way. But he's not a player. He's a coach. But
I also marvel at the people that can't remember anything.
So why?
You just struck out 21 in a row and you had no idea.
There's virtue in both.
Didn't you realize nobody hit the ball?
No, I knew I was doing good, but I didn't know it was that good.
I remember once upon a time, when I first went to go work in FM Alternative, I was doing a morning show with a guy, and we started talking about, it was about the time of the College World Series for softball.
Mm-hmm.
And I, started boasting about, what? I think I could hit a softball pitcher. And sure enough, a college softball pitcher was listening to the show. So I'll come pitch to you. I think she pitched for UTEP. I didn't hit very well. I made contact a few times.
Yeah. So
goes back
harder
to the discussion.
Than it looks.
Yes, the discussion that we had last week about what's the hardest thing. And Jarrett's like, you can go in against a major league pitcher and make contact. That's not the goal.
I know.
No, right. That is not the goal. The goal is to barrel up and hit the ball hard.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I did make contact, though. That was my last great sporting
Jarrett, are you
achievement.
Okay?
Okay. Why did you say that?
No, you just looked. It looked like you were about to say something. And I realized no, he's just sitting.
I was
with a
about
dumb
to say something, but I don't know if we have enough time.
Okay.
I was going to say one. I remember Jenny Finch once went on Baseball Tonight and struck out John Kruk.
Jenny Finch went over and pitched to Chase Field, and a lot of guys tried to hit off her, and they couldn't barrel up either.
There's your next U of A basketball coach, Jenny Finch.
There you go.
It meets all the criteria. Thanks to our guests today, Chad Ryder, Javon Carter. Thanks to you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow at 10. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day, everybody.